Hello and welcome back to the Comic Lyra Podcast, the podcast that does deep dives into the best, worst, and middest of comic books, graphic novels, and sometimes mangas. Well, probably not for a while, for reasons we'll get into. I'm your host, the soon-to-be-known as Comic Stan, and with me, as always, is my prehistoric co-host, it's Jamie.
As well as being prehistoric, I also have deja vu. Do you know why I have deja vu, Ryan?
Did I use prehistoric before?
No, but this is the second time we've done this. This week.
Yes.
I don't want to see this much of you.
It's weird. It's almost like seeing each other outside of the podcast, which is just wrong. Like, why would we?
What you guys have to realize is that neither Ryan and I exist outside the podcast. We have a completely white room with two microphones and two cryogenic chambers. And once a week, twice a week, the door pops on the chambers and we step out and there's a stack of comic books in front of us. And then we go back to the chamber.
We're separately in separate chambers then.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we don't see each other then. So at separate times, our chambers will open and there's just a stack of comic books in a plain white room that we read. And then the second time, both the chambers open at the same time and there's a table with two microphones. We don't know who puts them there. And then we do the podcast and then we get back in our chambers.
Yeah, and there's a mirror in both rooms. One way mirror kind of things.
I have been wondering about the mirror, Ryan.
And sometimes if we don't read the comic or we don't do the podcast, like a voice will come over the tannoy and it just says, please resume or something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I normally get, because that I find that quite agitating, and so I normally end up sedated at that point, so I often don't remember what happens if we don't do the podcast.
And whenever we try and mention it on the podcast, it normally, like, we get, like, the electric shock kind of thing.
We've gone quite far into this one and not been...
It's surprising. You think this part would just get edited out or something. Like, it's weird that they've left. So we're doing Justice League versus Kong versus Godzilla this week.
Well, we weren't going to do that this week, were we, Ryan?
No, we had a real experience, to put it mildly, with what we were going to do originally.
So 5 days ago, on the day that we usually record the podcast, Ryan and I sat and read a comic book together.
A manga.
And while we were reading it, we were sending some messages back and forth. And you'll never believe this, humble audience, but the messages were, this is all a bit sexual.
Yes.
Were we reading pornography, Ryan?
No, and normally, if it's just the issue of sexualization in comic books, I think we'd both be like, that's fine. Like, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad.
But we were reading Dragon Ball and it got weird.
Yeah, we thought we were going to do Dragon Ball in honor of the passing of its writer-creator, Akira Toriyama.
Akira Toriyama.
I'm proud of myself I was able to remember that. So we thought, let's do Dragon Ball. Like, everyone's talking about it. We're late to this whole thing anyway, but let's do it anyway.
Let's just memorialize this guy. And for reference, I'm a huge Dragon Quest fan, which is a game that he worked on. So I'm a big fan of his work. I read Dragon Ball as a pre-adolescent, as a kid. The sexual stuff kind of just passed me by at that age.
Yeah, and then it wasn't even just the over-sexualization of the characters generally, one character in particular, the only female character in it. It was also the ages of the characters, which really made an uncomfortable read.
Yeah, it just got weird, and we recorded the episode, and we kind of listened back to it and went, this just isn't the content we want to put out. So we're doing a makeup episode today.
Yes. I mean, we could have not said anything and just done this episode and no one would have known. But we thought it'd be add a little backstory lore to the podcast.
I think the thing is, I'm bringing quite a lot of energy to this because it's the second time I've had to podcast this week.
Yes.
And like, maybe, you know, whoever listens to this may not know, but get a buddy round, get like a Yeti mic in between you. Pick a topic and talk about it for an hour and a half together. You'll realize that it's actually quite hard work.
It's just a bit mentally taxing.
It is.
And we'll get into the comic very soon, but that was a topic that came up on the internet recently. I think it was, what's his name? Hassan Piker or someone like that.
I don't know who that is, but
he's some political commentator,
right, okay.
Left wing, but he says a lot of weird stuff. But at one point he said something like, oh yeah, podcasting and live stream and stuff is like really difficult, like compared to normal jobs. And everyone was like, are you having a fucking laugh, right? And then he tried to not backtrack it, but he was trying to explain himself. And I get where he's coming from. If you do anything with any kind of effort over a long enough span of time, it's taxing in some kind of way, whether physically, mentally, or whatever.
Do you know what, mate? This is one of my three jobs.
Yeah.
and I do a very grown up very professional job, and then I work in hospitality, and I must admit, this is the morning and I'm coming off the back of a closed shift in a pub.
Mm-mm.
And I'm about to go and do another closed shift in a very busy pub on a British bank holiday. And I would rather do that for 9 hours than this.
Yes.
Our episodes are an hour and a half long. An hour-ish.
Yeah.
They are that length because Ryan and I would lose our marbles if they were 2 hours long.
Yes.
Genuinely. Like this, it seems like it wouldn't be hard work because you're just conversating. You're just having a conversation. But you're not just having a conversation, are you? It's really interesting.
Mm. But the biggest difference is with this kind of work, talking about a very general scale, it's there are millions of people who are doing this for no money. They're like,
including
in the world,
us.
Including us. So it's definitely a point of like, most other work you would not do if you were not paid.
Yeah.
Like, we are doing this without pay.
We do this for fun.
Exactly.
But it is hard work.
Yes. It's fun. It's fun work as opposed to non-fun work. But all work is work and all work sucks.
Exactly.
In different ways.
Exactly.
So now we've addressed that topic.
So we're doing an extra podcasting shift this week.
And if we hadn't have mentioned, you wouldn't even notice because we're so upbeat and we're so with it, you know?
Right? Totally.
So Justice League, Godzilla, Kong.
I mean, it's everything I want.
I couldn't
have asked for more from this title. I particularly couldn't have asked for more from a second title in 1 week, right?
It was chalk and cheese with what we had done previously.
The perfect palate cleanser.
Yes.
Any regular listener will know that I'm not super into DC Comics. But when they land for me, they fucking land.
This was Super Shenanigans' best version of it.
It was great. Mm. And like, there are some things that I want to talk about which kind of scream of serendipity.
Mm.
But I suppose we should probably stick to the format that we've created.
Yeah, let's get some credits in first.
Yeah, let's do that.
So, okay, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Written by Brian Buccioletto.
Yep.
Artist Christian Duce and colorist Luis Guerrero.
Okay.
And a lot of backstory with some of these characters. We've covered DC to death, as we will in the future, but two new players entering the ring here with Godzilla and Kong.
Not a ring I'd want to get into.
I mean, they wouldn't even notice you if you're lucky.
It's like getting in the ring with Nassim Hamed. He's just going to dance around you the whole time.
If they don't notice you're there, then you're fine. As long as you don't get stepped on.
That was a reference to 90s British boxing.
I mean, I assumed it was boxing and, and not having any relevant knowledge. I just passed by it. Like,
oh, Prince Nassim, man. You need to watch this guy box. He's phenomenal.
Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali. That's the extent of my boxing references.
Right. Are you excited to see Mike Tyson absolutely take Jake Paul's face off?
I think he's been paid to take a dive.
I mean,
because that's what's apparently has happened with every other Jake Paul opponent.
Yeah, but saying. Even if Tyson's been paid to take a dive, you and I both know that once he puts those gloves on and gets in that ring, Tyson does not take a dive.
I mean, he might this time.
No, he bit somebody's ear off. That man is a fucking god among men.
How long ago?
Like 25 years.
Yeah. At one point, he was like a proper pacifist. But like full on like, I won't throw a punch. And the only reason I know that is because of the roast of Charlie Sheen. He was there with Steve-O. He was at the thing with Steve-O, and Steve-O was like, hey, you could do a stunt. Maybe let Mike Tyson punch you in the face. And Tyson was like, I don't punch anyone anymore. Not even for this. So Steve-O had to run at him.
He ran at his face.
What's interesting about that whole event with Steve-O is that he broke his nose previously, and it was always like crooked.
Didn't he re-break it straight?
So he re-broke on Tyson's fist, and then some guy, like some old like karate kung fu instructor, like stereotypical look, was like, here, I can fix his nose and like set it into place.
Yeah.
So it fixed after that. Weird tangent, but there we go.
So
Godzilla from the bloody 50s, famous nuclear allegory, nuclear war allegory.
It's a kaiju, isn't it?
Yes. Also, apparently, some people like not an allegory for the nuclear bombs, he's an allegory for America, which makes a lot of sense. And King Kong from the 30s, so even older.
King Kong's an American creation, isn't he?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. So I watched a video of this recently about the original King Kong film, and apparently the creator of it, apparently he had a dream where he imagined a giant ape on top of the Empire State Building.
Which is dope.
And then he woke up and he was like, well, I've got to make that. So he worked backwards from that and inadvertently created one of like most well-known fictional characters of all time.
I mean, it is I mean, yeah, I get it though. Like, it totally works, doesn't it?
I mean, it's been reworked so many times and so many iterations. My original introduction to the Kong character was an animated TV show on like Fox Kids or something, and it was a guy who like could mind swap with Kong or something. And if you ask me, that's peak cinema. Like,
so when he mind swapped with Kong, did Kong then can take control of his body?
So they could.
So he'd be like in a business meeting, and suddenly he's just throwing shit at people.
So they could go into each other. So mainly it was for like big kaiju fights.
Well, yeah,
like,
makes sense.
Kong's losing. I'll help him because I'm naturally smarter than an ape. It's like, well, all right, think big yourself. All right, man. Guy. But then if they had to travel somewhere, he would then take Kong into his head. I think the whole body would like transfer into the mind of, or I don't know. I did not research. Of all the research I did, which was, as we've established, very little. But this, I did not research into that.
You brought this up.
I did bring it up. I introduced it, and now I'm pulling it away.
Yeah. Like, I'm into this. Yeah. I want to follow this thread wherever it goes, Ryan. I'm invested.
That'll be a Patreon thing down the line where we watch that TV show, along with the lost, forgotten episode of Dragon Ball.
Oh, don't. It's so bad.
It'll be on the Patreon one day.
It's just us skirting around a topic for 2 hours, Ryan. It was such a long episode as well.
And originally we were like, all right, we'll cover it, we'll address it at the top, and then we'll talk about everything else.
But you couldn't.
It was everywhere. It was all through the manga.
It permeated the entire thing. Right, yeah. Kong. So, I want to talk about Superman, Kong, and Godzilla because it's so good.
So, starting with the arting.
Yeah, so
very DC House style for the most part. Not bad, but...
Very DC House style. However, compositionally, I found some of the bigger panels quite interesting.
The big splash panels. And if I'm going to use this phrase a lot, if ever there was a title to do this in, this is the one.
Well, yeah, when you've got a bunch, particularly, so I think to sufficiently explain this, we need to dig into the story just a little bit, just to explain that there was Godzilla, Kong, a giant kind of Cthulhu monster, and a giant bat.
Yes.
Over various cities in the DC universe.
And more even, too many to mention.
And there was a page in straight square quarters showing all four of these kaijus over these cities, and they looked really good.
Yes.
Like, compositionally, they looked great. I think they really got across the scale of the issue that the superheroes were dealing with, but they also made these monsters look really terrifying, but unique and interesting. Even though we were looking at really well-worn tropes here, like, you know, everyone's seen a Cthulhu monster, but seeing a Cthulhu monster...
Technically, this was a Kraken.
Yes. Yeah.
Similar.
Same deal.
I mean, one's like a Eldritch god, and the other is just like a Davy Jones pirates kind of thing.
The other one's just a very big octopus from the sea.
That ate Johnny Depp once.
Hasn't everyone had a nibble on Johnny Depp, though?
I mean, he seems the type, doesn't he?
He does.
Especially mentally. Have you seen him talk about anything?
There with a mega pint of wine, smoking a... he smokes roll-ups with licorice papers, doesn't he?
Ugh.
Right?
If ever a characteristic where it'd be like old 40s child snatcher, kind of like, he smokes licorice roll-up papers. Like, ugh, God.
And most Americans wouldn't even know what he's smoking. They would assume they were spliffs because he's smoking, like, I could have sworn whenever I've seen him smoking a durry, he's got like a hand-rolled cig.
Probably. He's the most hipster of hipsters, the kind to do that, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a hipster. He's kind of been cool, stopped being cool, and then been cool again.
I'd say not cool currently.
Not cool currently. That's right.
Maybe he'll bring
take.
It back. Maybe he'll bring it back.
Do you know he listens, right?
He's number one fan. He keeps demanding we do the comic adaptation of Edward Scissorhands. They're like, we've told you before, it doesn't exist.
Johnny, we've told you. If you want us to do it, you have to write it.
God, don't write a comic. We might have to do it one day.
Johnny Depp, if you write a comic, I'll review it. I'll make Ryan review it, and I'll give it a positive review, whatever it is.
So, kaijus.
Yeah, so the kaijus look good. Compositionally, I really liked a lot of the panels. I liked, like, 21st century, like, 2024 Bruce Wayne.
With
a little bit of stubble and, like, short back and sides. He looked good. That was fun.
I thought the detail on the monsters was very good, like, more so than the house style. Like, it made him stand out not just from the size, but, like, you look directly at Godzilla, and it's, like, so, like, muted colors, like detailed drawings and lines, and like just made him look so different from everything else in the the page. Again, regardless of size,
particularly Godzilla.
Yes, and I especially liked just the size disparity, like how they showed it. Like, it was always like specks of the characters who, because of the way it's laid out, you knew who the characters were. You were just in on them in the normal range, and then it just cuts to like a speck and then the monster next to them. So I think it always did a good job of that. Did a good job of jumping between like fighting, like human size fighting and like kaiju fighting and like going back and forth there, which I think is difficult. Like, give credit to that. I wouldn't know where to start if you were not doing that kind of stuff.
Totally.
So yeah, art overall delivered the story very well and made the monsters look monsterly.
Yeah, monsterly.
Yeah. To call me the word.
No, it was a pleasing read on that level. Story-wise.
I think story-wise, we should say we are just going to cover all of it.
So I think...
it's not quite the story. It's like we have to follow it chronologically to...
Well, because you're a fan of following stories chronologically, and I'm jazz. So I would like to give a brief like overview of my thoughts on the story and just some of the way they use some of the tropes that I often find galling in comic books.
Yeah.
So there was this occasional sense of serendipity. So for instance, at Godzilla's first appearance, Bruce Wayne and Lois Lane?
Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
Superman and his girlfriend just happened to be having dinner on the roof of their office, right?
Well, that's explained why they're doing...
Well, yeah, I know, but the point is, at the point that we see them doing that, it hasn't been explained because they cut back in time to show us the events leading up to it.
It's one of those show the middle at the start, and it's like, hang on, let's rewind 12 hours.
At that point, you go, oh, they're having dinner on the roof so that we get to see Godzilla from the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it was one of those things that, like, it was just such an obvious device that they were using. However, as you've just said, it then zooms back a little bit and it shows Superman going around to everyone saying, oh, I'm going to propose to Lois Lane. I'm going to take a bit of time off work. And it's very exciting for me. And it's like, okay, so you've kind of woven it into the story.
It's workplace kind of camaraderie and banter.
Yeah.
Like, and have you heard Clark's proposal to his missus and all, like, around the water cooler?
And, like, you know, Wonder Woman comes to see him and they're like, maybe those two should get married. And she's like, oh, I think highly of you, Clark. I'm so happy for you.
Yes.
Like, and again, I'm like,
all the superheroes are British now. They're all British now.
That's my like polite pleasantry voice. Yes. So I'm having a lovely time. Thank you for inviting me to dinner. But it just kind of felt a bit contrived.
Yes, but it's a level of contrivance which I think is just all TV and film and stuff. Like, what are the odds that this significant thing would happen? And then phone would ring. Like,
yes,
wouldn't you just be hanging out for an hour and then the phone would ring later? Like, that kind of thing.
No, absolutely. It just felt contrived. But then, you know, I enjoyed seeing... actually getting an insight into the relationships between the Justice League members when they're not superheroing, and that was nice. Mm. There was a really fun use of what I've come to call the Deus Ex character, where they bring extra characters in. However, here I think it was really well used, because what often happens, i.e. Flashpoint, is that they'll be mid-fight, and suddenly a character will appear at the perfect moment and say, ha-ha, I'm here to save the day, I'm a superhero.
Yes.
What happened here was they were like the big players. So your Supermans and your Wonder Womans and your Batmans were calling in other people from their universe, but we were seeing them get there. And so it was it gave it a real impending sense of doom, because you're like, fuck, the Bat family are all coming, but they're not all in the same place at the same time.
Mm.
And so they're kind of getting here in drips and drabs, and fuck, that person would be really useful right now, but they're not here yet.
Yeah.
And it felt realistic. Yes. I know none of this is realistic.
Yeah, within the rules of their universe.
But it made it feel more reasonable, and it wasn't just like a big splash panel of the exact character you needed with the exact power set at the exact moment. Ha-ha, I'm here.
Yeah.
It was like, oh no, the Bat family are coming. And I was like, well, the Bat family have this giant monster, and like Nightwing is just an old Robin, right?
Yes, the first Robin.
So he's just a dude with two fucking sticks.
Yep.
And, like, the Bat family are coming to help Batman fight this huge monster. And you're like, but they're all underpowered. They're all just normies.
It's a giant bat.
It's a giant. Yeah, it is a giant bat.
Which I made a note of being like, of course the giant bat would go Gotham. But
it's a perfectly cromulent monster.
I think that is explained somewhat. It's given a reason that we'll get into later.
Dude, watching Batman fight a giant bat, totally there for it. Yeah. Don't need an explanation. Like, that's just fun.
And him and the Bat family take down the first kaiju.
Well, they're the only ones to really do a good job. And I think there's this really fun thing that plays out where, so the Bat is over Gotham and then the Godzilla is over Metropolis, right?
Yeah.
And Superman and his lot are like, oh, we need to contain people and evacuate the city. And it's like, you know, they're doing the Superman thing. And then Batman's like, you realize that it's weak to supersonic shit. I'm just going to make a supersonic thing and then we're going to blast it with supersonic stuff.
And luckily they had Black Canary there, yeah, who is literally like a supersonic scream power kind of thing.
But you see, while Superman is still busy trying to like evacuate Metropolis, you just see the bat fall into Gotham.
Yeah.
And this is why car insurance is so much more expensive in Gotham than it is in Metropolis, Ryan.
You think Metropolis would be the higher one because Superman has more big, superpowered battles.
Nah, Gotham, man. Like, Gotham is the south side of Chicago of the DC universe.
Yeah, so Philadelphia. Here's my theory. Car insurance.
Or Nottingham.
Don't go that bad. Car insurance, more expensive in Metropolis, because I think there's bigger fights, like with superpowered beings and stuff, and like being knocked through skyscrapers and all that bollocks. Gotham, life insurance more expensive, because you've got Joker releasing bloody toxins that kill entire blocks and things like that.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's my theory.
There's a higher risk of loss of property in Metropolis.
Yes.
But if you really want to get good and dead, good and smiley for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Reference to our short.
Mm.
You want to live in Gotham, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think with the whole superheroes coming in and the Deus Ex character.
Deus Ex character.
Yes. Trademark comic era.
I've named that trope.
Yes. I think what makes that far more acceptable here is that no one suddenly saves the day. Or even the moment.
No.
They turn up and they're like, I guess we're both now fighting this monster and it's still not really working.
And like Supergirl kind of changes the tide of the fight with Godzilla. Like Superman is like, we're not talking about the core fact here.
Yeah.
That Superman goes down in this.
Yes.
Like he is making death saving rolls at this point.
Yeah. And I think now is the point where, as I said, we're going to get into all the six issues. It's seven issues. Turns out the last issue isn't coming out the week of the film release,
right?
Godzilla Kong.
Ridiculous.
It's a month later. So we're doing six out of seven. Maybe we'll revisit
the last
issue. Do you
reckon the film's just there to promote the comic?
I mean, DC, it's all Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
It's meant to be corporate synergy. It's meant to be things working with other things and...
Fuck off, right?
SEO tie-ins.
Fucking corporate
and all that
synergy.
Stuff.
We're not bringing any of that corporate bollocks into the podcast until somebody starts paying us to.
It's the most insidious thing about it. It's already here. The corporate synergy is coming from inside the house.
It's you, isn't it?
I mean, it's always been me.
Ryan just starts buttoning his shirt up, putting his tie on.
No, release like the Superman pull, but it's the Warner Brothers logo on a shirt.
So your Superman t-shirt comes off and there's a suit underneath it.
Yeah, but with Warner Brothers / Marvel / Apple / Microsoft.
Don't make me ruin the pure white room with my vomit, Ryan.
They'll just electrocute us anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, this is true.
So we're just going to get into the whole story.
I mean, we're
of
kind
the
of already
into
now. It. Like, yeah. You don't need to tell them. They know. They know what's going on.
I'm more saying at this point, if you were like, if you thought, oh, I'll check it out now, stop here. Go read six
don't
issues.
Don't stop here. Listen to the podcast while reading it.
Put it on mute. So we're getting the play and then just go back and replay it.
Be
with
a good
on.
Consumer and absorb several types of media at the same time. Consume.
Resume. So yeah, we're getting into again the whole thing. A lot of... does it feel like fake out death thing with Superman? Because...
Well, I mean, so Supergirl like can always hear his heartbeat and she stops hearing his heartbeat.
Likes that part.
That was cool.
Like the Superman comic we read recently, the latest one, Superman can always hear two voices in the entire world, Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like, and it makes sense that they're both Kryptonians and so their heartbeats would resonate on a certain frequency, like, you know, and there's the only two of them in a fucking universe devoid of Kryptonians now. So it makes sense that that would happen. Like, that didn't strike me as superhero shenanigans. Actually, that really upped the ante.
Yeah.
Because you go, fuck, what is wrong with Cal?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where's Kal-El? What's going on?
So my whole thing with that, I kind of pros and cons, right? Pro is having Godzilla kind of knock out Superman as much as he did. I thought that was a great scene. It not only them trying to fight Godzilla and not getting anywhere, like that made Godzilla strong, but also him basically taking out Superman made him really strong as well. I love the portrayal of Superman in this. I love that at the beginning, he's very kind of like, oh, thanks guys, shucks, and you know, just trying to do my best, whatever. I thought that's classic Superman, quintessential Superman. And then later with him and Shazam, the whole Shazam being like, yeah, I'm just going to try this, whatever. Superman's like, don't do that. And then when it goes wrong, Superman's like, listen to me next time. So he's that stern dad. That
the authoritative.
Like,
I mean, Shazam's such a fascinating character for me. And I think we really get a sense of that here because...
He's a kid.
Well, he's a kid. Yeah, totally. Yeah. This is it, isn't he? He's a kid in essentially Superman's body, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Like, he's not as powerful as Superman, is he? But
I think he's close. It's always, you know, what iteration are you reading kind of bollocks. But yeah. I think generally he is quite close.
I mean, he's pretty badass.
Yeah. But again, he's that kid's kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. And
so the other thing is, this is just a kind of lore question, like a Shazam question.
Sure.
My experience of Shazam comes exclusively from that one comic we did that had him in it.
He was in Flashpoint.
He was in Flashpoint. Yeah. And the trailers for the film that I didn't see.
Yep.
Sorry, barely anyone did. Really, was it that bad?
The second one didn't do well, no.
I thought he was a bunch of kids, not just one kid.
Yeah, so he's one kid. But he has this, so he's an orphan in a kind of adopted foster family.
Yeah.
And he's got all these, foster brothers and sisters.
Mm.
And then what happens is he, especially in the first film and a lot in the comics, he extends his power to them. So he basically gives them his power as well.
Right.
But the whole thing with Shazam is the Shazam powers, it comes from like, you have the strength of, I can't remember the names. They're like Greek gods, like the speed of Hermes, like that kind of stuff. The wisdom of whoever the wise Greek god is. But he's got like seven of those. Well, yeah, none of them.
Probably Zeus, but...
Maybe Zeus. But he's got, so seven of those aspects, the strength, speed, blah, blah, and lightning powers from whoever as well. So with the brothers and sisters, he gives them each an aspect. So they have that same activation, say Shazam, lightning, become the super god.
Yeah.
But they each have an aspect of it. So that's roughly what I know it as.
Right. So he kind of splits it down for them.
Yeah. And he still says Shazam, but like, yeah, he's just kind of giving it to them as well.
Mm.
But with the whole Superman death thing, like, again, Godzilla taking him out, make Godzilla very strong, pro wrestling rules. Like, it got Godzilla over. And I thought, that's great. Then they start doing this all like, oh my God, Superman's dead. And I was like, immediately I read, like, no, he's not. Like, shut up. Like, this is, they're not going to waste the death of Superman again on the Godzilla Kong tie-in. It's like being like, oh my God, Batman's died in the Marvel,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover. He eats a bad pizza and dies.
He's just dead now from forever. Like, so as a reader, I was like, why are you bothering with this? Like, they didn't have to do the whole like, oh my God,
I liked it. I really thought it up the ante.
I think I've read too many of them. They've done it too many times. So
I've not read a lot of Superman.
Yes. But like any character, like how many death fakeouts, it happens all the time. That's the problem. And it's just all you need to do. You don't, the characters in there, they're dealing with a lot. Just don't have them be like, oh my God, he's dead. Just have them be like, oh my God, he's seriously injured. We don't know what's going to happen kind of thing. Like they could have done all the same stuff. They could have had worried about him.
You're having a fight with Godzilla, right?
Hmm.
And one of your friends goes down and you stop being able to sense his heartbeat, which you can almost always sense.
Yep.
Your first thought isn't going to be to fly over to him and go, oh no, he's seriously injured. You'd say, fuck, he's dead. Like, I'm sorry, your logic is flawed.
No, but this same friend, so you're in this scenario and the friend who gets attacked in that way.
Dead.
Has died and come back to life like 100 times already.
That doesn't make him any less dead now, does it?
He kind of does. If you'd repeatedly died and come back to life and then died again, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's for real this time. I'd be like, he's probably all right. Like,
in my experience, death is pretty permanent, bro.
So I'm talking about this from the outer reading audience thing. I just don't think there was any point because all it made me go, and again, if you're reading this, you're probably in the weeds of like superhero comics. I don't know.
This feels like one for the dirty casuals.
I mean, mate, you've got something there. Like maybe someone's a Godzilla King Kong fan, especially with the films, and they've gone, ooh, like Justice. I've heard of Justice League. I've heard of this comic out. Yeah, maybe. But all I'm saying is, and this isn't just superhero stuff. This is like any franchise. Like how many near deaths have happened in like fucking Star Wars, right? The last Star Wars film, Rise of the Skywalker.
Can't invoke George Lucas.
Well, this is this is Disney. Post-Lucas,
yeah, but...
In Rise of Skywalker, there's two kind of death fake-outs, right? Chewbacca gets taken on the ship. They go in the air. Ship gets blown up. Everyone goes, oh my God, Chewie's dead. Fucking like 5 minutes later, they're like, oh, the other ship got blown up. Anyway, here's Chewie. And then... and then C3...
Enough of that is Chewie.
Yeah. And then C-3PO, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, to access this ancient Sith language or whatever it was, I've got to wipe my entire hard drive, which is a robot death. And they're like, oh no, that's really sad. And then he does it, and then he's like, rebooted, factory reset, like, hello, who are you? How can I help you? And then later, he's like, someone's like, oh yeah, I rebooted him again, and he's back to normal now. They did two fake out deaths that were retconned immediately within the same film.
But this one was really impactful.
I
found this really impactful because it served the purpose it needed to. And you've already identified the purpose it needed to serve. It needed to demonstrate how powerful Godzilla was.
Yes. And I like that.
It did
part.
That.
Yeah. And that was great.
I don't think I think for the rest of the characters to have responded in the way that you want them to, which is to look over at Superman dying in the street in Metropolis and go, it's merely a scratch. Fucking knight in Monty Python, I don't think it would have been impactful. I think this is how it needed to play out, and I found it really good.
I think you're coming from the realism within the context, which is like absolutely valid. Like, I 100% see where you're coming from. I think they could have just saved time and space within the comic.
What, though?
Just extra kaiju fighting or...
But like, there was a... Like, I think I got a good amount of kaiju fighting. I think any more kaiju fighting and I'd have been like, ugh.
But again, if any title to do a lot of kaiju fighting, this is the one.
Well, no, I know. But there was a good amount of kaiju fighting. And I feel that if they'd glutted it with it, it would have been less impactful. I think taking a moment to demonstrate just how powerful this thing is by essentially insinuating that it was able to end an unstoppable force that is Superman, I think that's really impactful. Right. I think it was a really great storytelling device.
I will concede that my argument is nitpicking. Like, it's low on the level. Again, I really enjoyed the whole comic. I think it was all great. But I'm nitpicking in a way where I'm like, you could have made a great thing even better if you just
changed it. I don't think it would have made it better, though. I think that's my point. I don't think it would have made it better to have not had that.
I think...
It's one of the things that I liked about it.
Yeah. It tell you what, like, theoretically, like, if we were changing one thing, like, this is my proposed change one thing, see what you think of this, right? Instead of them being like, oh my God, he's dead or whatever, right? What if... In the moment, because of all that's happening, they didn't have time to do that level. But then that in itself becomes like the subplot. They're like, we can't stop. We have to keep going. But you have these characters being like, is he all right, though? Like, is he going to be all right? Like, that, I think, would have been more impactful. Like, attention, rather than being like, well, he's dead. All right, let's move on.
I mean, I kind of like that it caused extra tension in other places, though. Because Supergirl had to leave the fight she was having to go and deal with Kal-El. And she didn't have to. She made an executive decision that she was like, all of these people that might die to this other kaiju are less important to me right now than actually the good in the world that is Superman. Yeah. So I'm off, mate. And
to be
was
fair.
It, was it Aquaman she left? Or was
no,
it...
I think she left Skull Island.
She left Skull Island, which had Flash on it?
Yeah. Or Green Arrow, I think.
Green
it was.
Arrow.
Yeah.
So she left Green Arrow entirely on his own on Skull Island, didn't she?
And Green Arrow's just like, yeah, I'll be fine.
Well, he said, this isn't my first uninhabited island. And I'm like, dude, what have you been? By the way, him and Hawkeye.
They're very similar. Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, they are one of the identical characters across these two companies.
In my head, but he's more enhanced than Hawkeye, isn't he?
Nope. Just good with arrows.
Just good. What? How have they both of the big two at some point have arrived at the conclusion amongst all of these really overpowered people that we definitely need one guy who's just really good, not with a gun, but at archery.
I think the archery has like a more kind of primitive, like old
school. Well, yeah, of course it does, because it is primitive.
Yeah. The Hawkeye's thing with Marvel, Hawkeye's thing is he was like a circus guy who just became really good at that.
So what's Green Arrow's thing?
So Green Arrow, this is his latest origin. Right, I don't know what it was.
There's
before.
Been a bunch, yeah. I imagine.
His latest origin, as I know it, I got it from the CW Arrow show, which was good at one time. Then it got really bad. And then it got good again, and then bad again. And it just kept going like that.
By Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Cool and uncool. So he was a Playboy rich kid. He was like Bruce Wayne, but, you know, happy family.
But
no
blonde.
No tragedy, right? And blonde. And then he is on a cruise with, I think, his dad or something. And then the cruise gets kind of capsized.
Mm.
And he washes up, sole survivor, on a deserted island. So,
Well, that's the reference then,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, yes. And then on the island, he meets like a stowaway guy who fights with a bow and arrow. And he learns from that. And he basically learns from super, like, it's in that scenario where it's like, this island is like off the coast of China. And there's like mercenaries on there. It's like international waters kind of things. So there's all kinds of illegal shit. And they put him in a position where he's like, you either become basically Batman or you die. Like, those are the two options. So he, you know, becomes like that. So yeah, that's great. Green Arrow thing. Hawkeye was just like, you're really good. You want to join a circus? That you're even better. Do you want to join the Avengers?
It's quite a career path, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, done to him.
From not a lot. To the circus, to being an Avenger. And he's a fully fledged Avenger, isn't he?
Yeah, he's one of the core, yeah. I think Green Arrow, for me, I like the comparison of him to Batman. Because he's kind of a bit more of a fun, bantery Batman. Like, he's less serious. He's very capable. They've had fights before where I think they've come very close. And
really?
Yeah, he's like very close on par. I liked in this, he gets a fight with a bunch of League of Assassins, which are just there for reasons where I think we find out in the 7th issue. But he gets in a fight with them, and I like that he's sneaking along and he's got that inner monologue going. Not barely any monologuing or
nothing
inner monologue.
Here. Yeah. Nothing here.
Great aspect.
Fantastic.
Yep. Very refreshing. All in the dialogue.
Yeah.
He's sneaking along. He's like, maybe I can take out these League of Assassins one by one in his head. And then he turns around and they're just all staring at him. And it genuinely made me laugh out loud, which for a comic, anytime it does
it's
that, it's like, that's great.
It was funny, wasn't it?
He goes, did you just hear me saying a load of stuff out loud? And I had to be like, wait, was he internal monologuing or was he external monologuing?
To himself, yeah.
And then, but in that part, he tries to take them on very quickly. He's like, I cannot take on all these people. So fires an arrow, an explosive arrow, and just blows himself off the ship, basically. But I just love that Batman is always like, no, I've got this. Like, it's fine. I always win. So, Green Arrow's just like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm getting out of here.
I think this is a good time to talk about the antagonists. The Rogues, are they called?
So I can see where... So it's the Legion of Doom. Is the main one. So Legion of Doom is literally just a collection of villains, normally run by Lex Luthor. The Rogues are some of the characters who were there.
Right, so, cool. Makes sense.
Captain Cold, I think, is the main one.
Yeah.
But they are Flash... enemies, basically.
Right. And then the Toy Man.
Yes.
Toy Master is a chain of British toy shops from the 90s that's no longer there.
Toy Man is, I think, a Superman enemy. And I think the reason is he would attack Metropolis with like giant monkey with the symbols or stuff like that. Like,
He's dumb.
Yeah.
He's so dumb.
I made a note of one of the lines. Lex Luthor literally saying to Toy Man, allowing you into the Legion was my greatest mistake.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who constantly loses to Superman. So think of the ground that covers. And one thing I really liked about this, you know, we've talked a lot about like quippiness, like that kind of level. I thought with this, the level of quippiness was perfect.
They were genuinely quite funny.
They were funny. It was good quips, but it only happened in the quieter moments.
I really liked when they were having that initial meeting. And they
the
were all
workplace banner.
Yeah, they were all sat around talking. And obviously we'd just seen everybody. Oh yes, well, congratulations, Superman. I'm so proud of you for getting married. And then they turn to each other and they're all bickering and somebody says, is this the difference between us and the Justice League? That they actually get on. I thought that was a really well timed little joke.
These are generally funny dialogue, like funny jokes. But again, like in the quiet moments, that's when it happens. As soon as the big stuff happens, like all serious.
Everybody
like,
gets to it.
And that's I think where the quippiness overdoes it in this like the Joss Whedon kind of Whedon-esque dialogue. It's when serious shit's happening and people still quipping. And again, certain characters that defines them, like your Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man or Spider-Man across everything, Deadpool. But most characters, when the shit hits the fan, that's when it's like, right, stop joking for a minute. Let's actually deal with the kaiju.
And it, and the thing is, you know, the characters who are who do use humor to deal with things are the characters who have often experienced the most trauma.
Yes.
Like Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, a whole facet of his character is that he did not have a good relationship with his parents who are now dead.
Yes.
And Deadpool is like, you know, he had to leave his fucking wife because he was riddled with cancer and didn't want her to see that.
Yep.
Like, these are characters who are using trauma to deal with...
Quips to deal with trauma.
Yeah, who have been using humor to deal with their trauma for their whole lives, and now they can only use humor to deal with tense situations, right? And so it makes sense, doesn't it? But here, you're so right. When the shit hits the fan and things are happening in this text, everybody's quite serious and sort of getting on with their job, other than the toy man, who's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
They're all just getting on with their shit. But then when they're just chatting, although there is one moment where Flash cracks funny.
Hmm.
You know when that kaiju basically opens a prison full of supers?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we've had a slight... I can't remember his exact word.
So please return to your cells.
Yeah. He comes in, he's like, we've had a monster break open the prison. Please return to your cells now. And you're like, that's quite funny.
Yeah. But that Flash, I will excuse as well. He's kind of a quippy character. But I think for him, he is moving and processing things so far. So he's...
My experience of Barry is unfortunately that he's...
Flashpoint.
Yeah. My experience of Barry is that he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. And when today I was reading this and he mentioned, oh, I really hope that I get there with Iris, but she doesn't even know who I really am yet. I'm like, no, because if she finds out who you are, Barry, she's going to realize you're a fucking moron.
Yep. I thought that was really interesting. They've kind of picked spots for all this to happen in the timeline of the characters.
Yeah, so, and it just came together really well, didn't it?
At this point, like in the comics generally, Lois and Clark are married.
Yes.
Like they've got kids. So it's interesting that they were like, let's have them about to get married, like about to propose for this point. Like I thought it worked for the piece, but it felt like an odd choice to me, not because I had any issues with the choice, but just it was kind of like, oh, why that part in particular?
Yeah? I suppose this is the charm of a crossover title like this.
Oh yeah, you can do whatever.
Yeah, and I suppose if this was coming as part of like a normal Superman run, it would need to tie in with where they are at chronologically with the current version of every character, right?
100%, yeah.
And so you've got kind of suboptimal versions of each character turning up to the book. Like, you couldn't have a Barry... Is he Barry West?
Barry Allen.
You couldn't have a Barry Allen who is right at the start of his relationship with Iris just for him to make that comment.
Yeah.
You couldn't have a Superman who didn't already have kids. Like, it was important that all these characters came to us in the kind of version or the point they're at.
Yeah.
And I suppose you only get that with a crossover title like this that is this contained, that doesn't need to feed into the wider universe or whatever.
I think it helps that, like, if you're the writer of this and DC are like, hey, we're giving you Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong. And he goes, is it canon? And they go, no, just a one-off. It's like, great.
Yeah,
like, I don't have to worry about all the other bollocks.
It must be so challenging. I've been reflecting on this a lot because I have shat on a lot of comic books.
Yeah.
In the process of making this podcast. And then we always talk about how they don't like taking risks with these older characters and, you know, the constant rebooting and changing and stuff. But imagine if you today got handed Superman.
Yeah.
They were just like, right for Superman. You're like, oh my God. I mean, really, I need to... Firstly, any idea I have, I need to cross-reference with fucking 80 years of Superman comics.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that exact thing hasn't already happened. Because let's face it, they've been churning this shit out, what, weekly? Since the 40s.
Like, let's say monthly, but even still.
Well, but in there will be a comic that has Superman coming out at least once a week.
But at times,
over
definitely.
The whole DC universe. Yeah. Like, he turns up everywhere, doesn't he? And so you're like, every time you go to write a Superman story, you're like, well, there's just this ever-growing corpus that's really dense, full of stuff that I need to cross-reference every time I want him to fart.
Yep. Yeah,
it's mental, really, when you think about it. Like, just the scope and breadth of this thing now.
And what's interesting with this as well is, like, we're talking about the levels of, like, the power levels, like, especially getting Godzilla over and stuff. But the reason I bring that up is there's been comics in before, like, I think of Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths, that's the one.
Yes.
Where Superman has, like, pulled planets into places or whatever. So if you use that as the upper benchmark, like, if you go on, death battle, where it's like, we put Superman against Goku. It's like, here's the two instances where they were the most powerful ever, and it happened for 5 minutes, like 10 years ago.
I mean, if recent events are anything to go on, Goku would just walk up and pat his genitals.
Just to make sure first.
Yeah, just to make sure.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a reference to the original Dragon Ball manga. Don't read it.
Just don't.
No. So, Superman has pulled planets across. So then when you get stuff like this, because it's not canon, you can more easily say Superman's strong enough that he can punch Godzilla enough that he can feel it, but that's it.
Exactly.
And so I think like that's an interesting thing where you have to kind of discern like what the power levels are of these characters. And the writer made it far more interesting by making Godzilla way more powerful than the Justice League.
They did. I mean, I can't stress enough how much of a fantastic job they did on this.
Yeah.
Like, it was thorough. I mean, I don't know if it's because I was reading it a bit tired after a closed shift, second one in a week. Like, I was just ready for anything to be good. I was just ready to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I did. I really did enjoy it.
What I thought of was, and again, I thought this was great, and then now we're talking about it bit by bit, it's like, I think it was even better.
Yeah.
The main takeaway I had, just even from the start, from like the first issue, I thought, this is the kind of title where it's already a gimmick title.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter,
but
really.
But lean into it.
Exactly.
Have fun with it.
That's exactly the note I made. Let's have fun with it. But they got the fun levels. I feel like the fun police. Like, you got the levels of fun just right where it's perfect. Not too much fun, but still a bit of fun.
It was never camp.
Yeah. No. Well, it camp in the right places.
Yeah. And like, I think what's really interesting here is often we come in very much on the same side of things. And it's like, we will both observe the same things that we did and didn't like. Whereas today we've come in quite hot, and actually the things that I didn't like, you have an answer for, and the things that you didn't like, I actually think really aided the story.
Yeah.
We've both clearly, and we've both interfaced with this on a different level, and we've enjoyed it for different reasons, but we've both enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was just a laugh. Like, it was just, this is what superhero stuff should be. I think it's been weighed down by like the nitty gritty, like dark realism, like especially Batman is like the core of that. And they've tried to make everything like that, like dark and gritty and whatever.
Yeah.
And this is, Superman is one of those characters where he should be this level of fun. But again, he was stern and like a firm but fair dad at points. Like, they nailed the characterizations just right.
And Batman was great.
Yeah. Although they did a couple of character assassinations. One was a Red Hood. So if you don't know him, he's the guy who shoots the bat creature in the eye, basically.
Yes. So is he a former Robin?
He's the Robin that got killed by Joker. So he got...
Well, that didn't last very long, did it?
No, he got brought back by the Lazarus Pit. So
right. Was he the second Robin?
Second Robin, yeah.
Right.
And his whole thing was he got killed by Joker, and then decades real time later, the mysterious Red Hood character appeared, was Batman's equal and stuff, but like killing villains, and then it turned out it was Jason Todd. And that, at the time, Jason Todd then was like, he's dead, and he's dead for good. So that was one of the first major, like, character died decades ago, now brought back, major storyline. But his whole thing, he's meant to be like, not evil Batman, but he's a bit kind of like Punisher Batman, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, but now he's been folded into the Bat family, which I think was a bad decision, because now it's like, well, you can't kill criminals and be part of Bat's family. Like, so now he can't kill anyone, but he's like, come on, let me kill the Bat. It's like, no. He's like, oh man.
Oh,
like,
shucks.
And in
Batman.
This, he was the impulsive, angsty, rebellious teenage Robin, essentially. He was just like, I'm going to shoot him in the eye. Bat's like, don't do that. That's dumb. He's like, no, I'm going to do it anyway. It's like, everything goes wrong. And everyone's
wasn't
like,
wasn't it one of the other Robins who was like, don't do that?
I think Batman and Dick, like...
I think, Nightwing, because I like Nightwing here. Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
We should do some Nightwing.
Yeah, there's a really well-received Nightwing comic that I tried and I didn't get along with.
Right.
But it was one of those ones where, like, you know, when if you read or watch something, you can objectively recognize it's really good.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't do it for you personally. Yeah. So it's one of those, you have to say, like, I agree with everyone else's take. I'm not disputing it. I'm not challenging anyone saying it's bad, actually. It's very good. It wasn't for me.
You just didn't like it.
But I'd be fascinated to see what your interpretation would be.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, again, this is one of the things that always happens to me when I read a big DC ensemble thing, because I'm more familiar with Marvel now.
Yes.
You know, generally with Marvel, I kind of know who everyone is, and, you know, most of the time I kind of get what's going on. But with DC, we've not done that much DC.
I think what doesn't help is the Marvel films have been more successful and you've seen more of them because of that.
Yeah.
And DC has been a lot more sporadic and, you know.
Yeah, and so, you're absolutely right. Like, Marvel is just way more present in the popular consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so as somebody who was a kind of casual observer of, comic book cinema, superhero cinema, I've just absorbed a bit more Marvel than DC. But every time we do a big DC ensemble thing, I often come away from it going, oh, because I remember we after Flashpoint, I was like, oh, I'm intrigued by Wonder Woman. And I've come away from this one going, oh, I'm kind of intrigued by the Bat Family at the moment. Like, I'm intrigued by Nightwing. I'm intrigued by the Red Hood. I definitely want to do some Nightwing with you.
Well, like I said, there's a really good one, so we can definitely do that soon. Again, be interested to see what your take is. Nightwing's an interesting one because he feels like Batman light, but they have, like, writers have really tried to make him his own thing.
That's kind of cool.
What's cool about him is that he kind of rejected the Batman mantle in a way. And not explicitly, like, Batman was like, you're going to be Batman now. And he was like, nah. But it was more like he kind of rejected Batman's, like, obsessive war on crime.
Yes.
Whereas Nightwing was more like, look, I want to help people. Like, I'll help you with stuff, but I'm also going to live a life. Like, I'm going to be my own person as well. Batman is Batman all the time, unless he's undercover as Bruce Wayne, essentially.
Yes.
So Nightwing's more like a wholesomer version, a more well-adjusted. And this is despite his family getting, like, killed in front of him, basically. It was,
But do you think that's potentially because he had a father figure in Batman?
Maybe.
That's why he's more well-adjusted.
But then Batman had... Batman had Alfred, but I suppose it's weird when your father figure is paid for.
Yeah, it doesn't
Maybe
help.
A little different.
Do you know much about attachment theory?
Yes, but for the listeners... Why don't you explain for them?
It's the prevailing psychological theory at the moment about the way that we build attachments and how so much of our character is based on the attachment we have to our parents, basically.
Right.
That was a very, very abridged explanation of attachment theory. If you have even a passing interest in psychology, you'll probably understand it better than I do.
I will say it was far better than your explanation of the 80-20 principle.
Which I'm still not happy with the way I explained that, and we're never coming back to it. That is my standing take on the topic.
It's done. We've addressed it.
Moving on.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we'll definitely do some Nightwing at some point.
Cool. Yeah, because he was good. He was fun in this.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was kind of fun in this. Aquaman could go fuck himself.
He was just like, protect the dome. Like, all right, man, cool.
Like, he's just such a shit character.
I mean, Aquaman's that kind of one where... The stereotype is like, well, he talks to fish and he's Superman underwater, but he talks to fish.
I prefer fish head Aquaman from...
Invincible.
Yeah. I prefer him.
Who just sits there bored. Yes. But then with Aquaman, they'll go way too far the other way to make him interesting. So they'll get to a point where it's like, what's your powers, whatever? And he's like, well, I can activate the... pre-evolutionary, like, reptilian fish part of your brain and give you a seizure.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, like, you got it's ever the joke from the New Girl, the character Winston New Girl. There's the running joke in that where it's like his pranks are always like, what if we leave a feather next to his car?
Yeah,
it was like, that's nothing. Like, what? It's like, what if we take him to the desert and beat him? It's like, no, there's you get in the middle.
I think the thing that intrigues me about Aquaman is that I've seen some modern Aquaman stuff where he looks more like Jason Momoa.
Yes, and that was a big plot to, like, get him cool again.
But why have we still got shit blonde Aquaman?
Because this is the Aquaman template.
Do you know
still.
What his character model most reminds me of?
Long blonde hair.
You're never going to get it, so I'm just going to have to tell you. You know the episode of Rick and Morty where they go to the magical land that he created for Beth?
Yeah.
And her friend is still in there and he's been humping the monsters and breeding with them to make flesh.
Right.
And he's skinny, long hair, and a blonde beard.
I'm fairly certain Aquaman is not having sex with the fish.
Well, I mean, what the fuck else is he doing down there, Ryan?
Well, he's got Mira down there with him.
I don't know who Mira is.
She's the one that Amber Heard played in the Aquaman film. But yeah, Aquaman, he was one of those characters, like a lot of others, they were like, we need him in here just for, like, the ensemble part.
Because he's a Justice
League core, isn't he? Yes, yeah. He's part of the ensemble, but really, this was about Superman, Batman, Shazam, Flash, Green Wonder Arrow. Woman. Wonder Woman, to an extent, she was kind of on the outskirts as well, wasn't she?
Supergirl,
yes. So
I fucking love Supergirl. Yeah. She's my favorite DC superhero. I'm going in. That she's my favorite.
Supergirl's what? So this was an interesting thing, and I've thought about this with, like, superhero characters. It's weird how certain characters get well written stories consistently to make them like favorites, right? Like Spider-Man's one of my favorite characters. His comic runs have not been great.
They are often hot garbage.
They are often
they
hot
are often
garbage.
They're often hot garbage, Ryan.
Although, buzzing for when we do Ultimate Spider-Man by Jonathan Hickman. Oh my God.
Did you like it?
The first issue was amazing. Barely any Spider-Man in it, and it was amazing. I'm saving myself like a couple of issues so I can read them like in a
so,
book.
So is that one that we're going to end up
100%,
doing,
yeah. But then Daredevil, like... But in the past, I was like, yeah, I like Daredevil. Like, he's not one of my favorites, but I like him. But his writing has just been so consistently good. I was like, well, he's one of my favorites now because he's just been really well written. Supergirl, obviously had that amazing Tom King run because it was right. Tom King. But that one before, I don't know who wrote it, but she had that storyline about becoming a Red Lantern and yeah. About anger and stuff. That was really good. Like, out of nowhere.
So I don't know if it's just because I've formed an attachment to Supergirl through... that one Tom King comic and the other Supergirl comic that I read years ago we've not been able to work out which one it was.
I think that was the Red Lantern run.
Potentially, yeah. She has the same kind of story. It kind of gives her a good chunk of Kal-El's... I quite like calling Superman by his Kryptonian name now, just because
cool
I know it.
Yeah,
I know it, and it's like, oh yeah, Kal-El and I are actually...
You're not a real comic fan unless you know Superman's real name.
This is it, exactly. Like, you know, I do this now. She has like a Smallville-esque thing on a farm with a family.
Does she?
Yeah. In the one I read. Yeah.
Okay. I think she was living with the Kents, the Superman's
potentially.
Parents,
yeah.
I think so.
But no, it's just whenever I see her turn up in something, I get a bit excited.
Mm, yeah.
Was it her or Miss Marvel who had the awful white costume with the triangle boob cut out?
That's Power Girl. Another female-esque super. She's not Kryptonian or anything, but she's like that kind
different
of thing.
Person.
Yes.
Because for a minute in my head, I thought that was Supergirl. And I was like, I've never seen anything of that ilk.
Mm.
I've only really read modern Supergirl stuff. And it may well be that actually if I was reading older stuff with her and the dog and it was all a bit camp and kitschy, I wouldn't be as into it. But no, whenever she turns up, she's always great. And for me, it's like she is a more relatable, grounded Superman character.
Yes.
Because she's Kryptonian, so she is as powerful as Kal-El, right? Like, she must be.
I think she's a bit more grounded because she's a bit more out. Like, Superman's very wholesome because he had a very wholesome upbringing. She was brought up on Krypton and then came over as a teenager and is now, like, apart from Superman, her cousin, very alone in the world. Like, Superman has Earth roots because he grew up here. Everyone she knows and loved has died on Krypton, and now she's kind of had to make a new life on Earth. So I think that's grounded her a lot more than Superman. Superman is pretty grounded, but like, yeah, she's had a different kind of go of things.
Yeah.
And it shows in the characterization, which is the most important thing for writing these kind of characters.
And she's great here.
Yeah, she's takes up the slack. Like, as soon as Superman's down, she's like, right,
There needs to be a Kryptonian.
Yeah, I'm doing
this
now. Not even without even saying it. She just starts doing it already. So yeah. A little bonus, Guy Gardner may or may not have got killed in issue 6, which in a very, very low key, like, oh no, they killed Guy. It was like Kenny, like, swept. I was like, oh no, they've killed Guy. And I was just like, ha, Guy. He has some fans that felt Tom King assassinated his character in the Human Target run because he was an absolute asshole.
But Guy Gardner's always a knob, isn't he?
Guy Gardner is an asshole, yeah. There's a famous panel.
I like him.
Yeah,
like, he's fun.
I like reading him, yeah. There's a famous panel of him with, you know, Justice League America. So that was the one that Batman was on as well. That was the group that was the core story of this Human Target series.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, it would come from one of these people in this old Justice League group. There's a thing there where Guy's kicking off and Batman's like, if you don't shut up, I'm gonna punch you. And Guy does his whole song of dance of like, well, one, I've got the ring, so you couldn't punch me anyway, but even if I didn't have the ring, like, I still would be able to take you. And then someone's like, maybe you should take the ring off and show him. He's like, yeah, I will, I'll take the ring off. And then Batman just clocks him, and it's like a giant splash page of just Batman punching Guy Gardner.
It's the point where Guy Gardner's like, without powers I could have him, about the Flash, and you're like, I'm not
that was Hal Jordan.
Oh, was that? Sorry. Yeah.
And
he was
saying, I think if they both didn't have powers, he'd be faster than him.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, whatever. Who cares?
He does have powers and you're not.
Yeah, Hal is a cocky asshole. Like, that is his character.
Right.
Because his whole thing is like, the Green Lanterns are willpower driven. Just like, you have the most willpower of anyone, so here's the ring.
So they have to be a bit arrogant.
Yes, and he was also a fighter pilot. So he was basically Tom Cruise in...
Top Gun.
Top Gun, yes. I was thinking of Maverick and I couldn't remember what the original one was called.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's basically Top Gun Tom Cruise, who becomes a superhero.
Not a guy you want to be buds with. I get a bit lost with the Green Lanterns because there's just so many of them, they all look the fucking same.
I mean, it's the colours is the main thing you have to... As long as you know the colours, like, that's fine.
Yeah, green is good, red is bad.
Yellow is bad. Yellow is fear, whereas green is willpower.
And red is anger, right?
Yes. And then orange is greed, I think.
So how hardcore was Supergirl when she also had Red Lantern powers?
Pretty hardcore. I mean, yeah, it's there's multiple times where superheroes become lanterns as well. Like, you know, it's like an interesting thing that happens in a run. Superman in the Injustice one became a yellow lantern. That was when he became a dictator. So obviously he had the fear lantern powers as well.
Sorry, Superman became a dictator?
In Injustice. You know, like, the...
So his dad's a Nazi and he's a dictator.
Oh, Elseworld. Yeah, different
time. Can we read that one? That sounds great.
Injustice is fantastic.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great. So
is it a long run?
It's a long run, yeah. But what's so good about it is it was literally just meant to be a comic tie-in with the video game.
Okay.
So the video game was like, we're doing a Mortal Kombat style versus Justice League. So
right,
we need
cool.
a reason for these characters to be fighting each other. Like, if you have Batman versus Batman, it's like, all right, so there's another Elseworld and Superman's become a dictator in that one. And then we have our main characters will go into this other universe, and that's why you have characters fighting each other. And the same, like Superman fighting Superman. So then they were like, well, we should do a comic tie-in, explain the backstory of why this world is how it is. So yeah, we'll just churn one out. And it's literally one of the best DC comics I've ever read. Like, it's insane. It had no right to be as good as it was.
They didn't care about it, so it came out good. That's what always happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. So yeah, I think we've covered... We've covered enough of it, I'd say. We've had a good run into it.
I think what has been the most fun and interesting for me in this episode is just having a chat with you about DC and our feelings about certain characters and stuff.
Oh, almost forgot to mention Cosmic Treadmill shout out.
Was there?
Yeah, they were building the Bat robot.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course there was.
And someone was like, yeah, I'll get the Cosmic Treadmill or whatever. And I was like, Jamie's going to love that. That I thought was so good as well, because the line Lex Luthor, like, it encapsulates the reader's perspective, where Lex Luthor has Mecha Godzilla, famous Godzilla antagonist. He's built one. And then he's like, yeah, I've got a giant robot now, so I'm going to fuck up the Justice League. And then he sees Batman's robot. He's like, of course Batman's built a robot. Like, I built one. Of course Batman's built one.
Yeah,
and I think that is kind of, it's a good version of hanging a lantern on it. That's
yes,
that like something wild, like crazy's happened, but your character comments on how crazy it is.
Yeah,
but it's just him. Of course, Batman's built his own, but at least it does justify it. Batman didn't already have one. He was like, I'm going to build one, and I'm going to use the Flash to make it really quickly.
Yeah.
So that explained it,
and it was cool.
Yes, it was fun. And then the lanterns made their one, and it was like, all right, this has turned into bloody Power Rangers.
Yeah, it
Megazords.
Did get a bit of Power Rangers, didn't it? But again, who doesn't want to see mechs fighting gaijus? Like, it's fun. That's the whole premise of Power Rangers, isn't it?
You know what this was better than? It was better than Pacific Rim.
Ryan.
That's going to be the title of the episode.
Late Stage Syphilis was better than Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I actually didn't even see Pacific Rim. I just assumed this was better.
I'm looking forward to the last issue.
Yes, we'll come back to it.
I'm going to read the last issue.
Yeah.
But I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. This was the perfect makeup episode for the Lost episode.
Yep, which may or may not get released one day.
It's never getting released, Ryan. I will come in this flat, this plain white room with two cryogenic freezing capsules in it.
Yes.
And ruin... I will smash that laptop before I let you release
that
episode.
The doctors will just electrocute you anyway first.
Exactly.
And all... By the way, this isn't a real podcast. This is a behavioural experiment. Social experiment.
Don't tell me that. I have an anxious disposition.
No, it's... Like, obviously,
well,
you don't really
put these on the internet, do you?
I wouldn't be able to tell you one way or the other, because they would just electrocute me and reset the episode before I'd get a chance to. Yeah. So anyway, this has been Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong. Let us know what you thought about it. And Also, quick shout out. Did get another lovely comment from YouTuber Really Good Morning. Their name is just a bunch of letters and numbers, but they commented that they got mentioned in the last one, if just a bit. So here's a proper mention. And if you have any comics or mangas you would like us to cover, let us know. We'd be more than happy to visit any comic.
Dragon Ball.
Except Dragon Ball, for obvious reasons.
Thank you so much for listening. Our YouTube shorts are fun. I like them. Ryan makes them. He spends lots of time on them. You should go and watch them. It's Comic Literate Podcast.
At gmail.com?
No, that's not the YouTube.
Comic Literate.
Yeah, were you not listening to a word I just said?
No, I was doing something else.
You should fucking... Ryan's been text messaging this entire episode. I'm calling you out.
Filibuster. So, yeah.
The YouTube is Comic Literate Podcast on YouTube.
Yes.
Go look at it. It's great. With I've heard rumors on the grapevine in the office behind our cryogenic chambers that there
behind
might
the mirror
that the next time we get released into the white room there might be a camera there for us to play with.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not heard of this.
Or at least some kind of device that can allow us to make video content.
Let's say that.
So you never know, guys. You'd better go and subscribe to the YouTubes because they're good. There might be some good shit there soon. Thank you so much for listening. It is always a pleasure doing this for you, and I hope you have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Goodbye.